Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have another high-quality show from Theater Guild on the Air. Escape was a 1927 play set in England about the adventures of a prisoner who escapes from Dartmoor Prison. This same play was adapted by Orson Welles for an episode of Campbell Theatre. This is Theater Guild on the Air, Escape, first broadcast April 27th, 1947 on ABC.
United States Steel, USS, the industrial family that serves the nation, presents the Theater Guild on the Air. Our stars, George Sanders and Penelope Ward. Our play, Escape, by John Galsworthy. Produced on the air tonight by the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers. Every day, everywhere, you are served by products of steel. In your home, in your business, in your travel. The trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. And now, from Broadway, direct from the stage of the Vanderbilt Theater, the United States Steel Corporation brings you Escape by John Galsworthy. And here is Roger Pryor speaking for the Theater Guild.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight's play, Escape, was written by one of England's greatest playwrights and novelists, John Galsworthy. And though the setting of our play is England, it might well have been any nation where men live by that imperfect and all too human thing which we choose to call justice. Any nation where the laws that are written on the books sometimes fall a little short of the eternal law of mercy. And now the Theater Guild on the Air brings you John Galsworthy's Escape, starring George Sanders as Matt Dennett and Penelope Ward as Barbara, and featuring Romney Brent as Albert, Everett Sloan as Guard Piper, and Maria Manton as Nancy.
I remember how I used to read the newspapers. All the stories of suicide and crime. Old ladies committing axe murders and quiet little grocer's clerks sentenced to hang. I used to think, who are these people? Where are they? Do they live next door? Does one pass them on the street? Somehow, the horror always seems to happen to somebody else. It's never me. It's never anyone I know. I used to read the newspapers and think about that. It seems odd to remember it now, as I sit here in prison. It's funny about that evening. I remember the strangest details. I remember walking through the park, thinking how fine it was to be young and alive in London in May. I remember the sweet smell of new leaves on the maples. I remember the branches of a tree that look exactly like hands stretched out in prayer. And the girl sitting there on the bench in the moonlight. I remember the cheap little cloth flowers on her hat. Yellow roses they were.
Have you got a match?
Oh, yes. Here you are.
Thanks. Been to the races?
Yes.
I could tell by the binoculars. I went to the Jubilee this year.
Oh. What horse did you back?
Everyone that didn't win. It's rotten when you don't back winners.
Don't you like the horses?
They look pretty.
Prettiest things in the world.
Pretty as women.
And a good deal more gentle.
You don't like women, that's clear.
Well, if you ask me, they've got such a lot of vice to them compared with horses.
And who puts the vice into them?
I know, you all say men. But do you believe it?
Well, I don't know. Don't men put vice into horses?
I suppose they do.
You can sit down if you like.
Thank you. All the same, there's nothing wilder than a wild horse. I've seen him out west in America.
There's nothing so wild as a wild woman.
Women haven't the excuse of horses. They've been tame ever since Eve brought Adam his tea.
Garden of Eden. Must have been something like Hyde Park.
Do you come here often?
Where else can one go? The cops are so particular these days. What are you? A soldier?
I was once upon a time.
Do you work or have you got money of your own?
I've a little money.
If I had money of my own, do you know what I'd do?
Get rid of it.
Ah, just what I wouldn't. If I ever got myself dependent on you men again, I'd shut my lights off.
Not like the lady under ether.
What's the matter with her?
Kept shouting, I don't want to be a free, independent economic agent. I want to be loved.
Oh, she was wrong. It's not easy for us. I'll tell you, you never get used to playing the canary when you don't feel like it.
I always sympathized with canaries, always expected to sing.
It was nice of you to sit down and talk.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's all secondary education.
Here's my address. You might come and see me now and then.
Thank you. Well, I've got to be moving along now. I'm due someplace at 10.
You don't like me, do you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. You're original.
Original sin.
There are worse things.
You can say that again.
Tell me, how did you...
Cut it out. Why don't you ask the cops?
Well, there's something to that. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right. That'll be enough.
Here, let go of my arm. Who are you?
Detective. Now then, quietly and you won't get hurt.
I wasn't doing anything. Help, mister!
I'm warning you. Don't go raising a fuss.
What is it? What is it?
I wasn't doing anything. Tell him. Tell him you talked to me of your own accord.
I did.
I saw her try to detain you. And I've seen her do it before.
I don't care what you've seen her do before. You didn't see it this time.
You'd better keep out of this.
Let the girl go.
It's my duty to keep the park decent.
I've made no complaint.
Don't interfere with me, or I shall take you along, too.
You can have me if you let the girl go.
That's enough now.
It's a rotten shame. Drop that girl's arm.
All right. You asked for it. I'll just hold the both of you.
I'll let go. You're hurting me.
Now keep your hands off me.
No, don't fight. The police get the best of it every time.
Run, I tell you.
Please,
you?
Don't hit him.
Yeah,
run!
Don't hit me, but...
Oh, he hit his head on the iron railing. Oh, I heard the crack. He's not moving at all.
Of course he's not moving. I knocked him out.
He's bleeding. I told you not to fight. Why did you want to fight for?
Here, get his coat open. I can't feel his heartbeat.
Quick, before anybody comes. Let's go.
I can't leave the poor devil like this.
Come away. It's awful. Suppose he's dead.
We'll find out soon enough. Where does he keep that whistle?
What are you going to do? Hey, what are you doing? Don't go blowing that whistle. Don't be a fool. Oh, don't. Please, please, don't.
I remember the wooden paneling of the courtroom. Oak it was. And the jury, the tall gentleman with red hair who kept blinking his eyes. And the judge with one eyebrow thicker than the other. I remember thinking how curious that was.
Matthew Dennett, to the charge of manslaughter, the court finds you guilty and sentences you to 5 years in Dartmoor Prison.
I remember the smell in the corridor of the courthouse, like somebody cooking fish, and the people outside straining to have a look.
An Oxford man, that's what they say. They say he went to Oxford, so help me. Manslaughter, indeed. I'd have hung him. Him with his Oxford.
And the day was very clear. The sky was blue as old porcelain. The sun shone on the cobblestones. The sun was warm on my back. I remember the way it felt as I waited there for the train to Dartmoor. I stood before the prison door, and there was a light wind from the east, so gentle I barely felt it. And the smell of spring was green and very sweet.
All right, in you go.
Do you know what it's like in prison? I suppose you've seen it in the cinema, the long cell blocks, the iron doors, the great stone walls. walking in the lines as we march out through damp corridors. No matter how many men there are, a prison always seems devoid of life. I suppose you've read about it in books, and you know about working in the fields, day after day, the earth turning with the seasons, now the wet, cold mud of fall, now the iron rock of winter. Believe me, neither the books nor the cinema tell you what prison is really like. And that is something you learn after you've come back from the potato fields and eaten your miserable supper and marched back to your cell.
Lock 9! All locked! Lock 10! All locked!
Alone, in the darkness, lying on the cot, staring at the ceiling with sleep always beyond the desperate reach of your fingers. Alone at night. That is when you know what prison is really like. Night after night, lying there, arranging and rearranging in your mind bits of the colored glass of remembrance. That girl in the park.
It was nice of you to sit down and talk.
I remember reading of a chap once who was in prison and kept himself from going crazy by writing a newspaper in his head. He used to put in everything, even the horse racing results and the obituaries. How it comes back. Years ago, the rainy days when I was a child, and my mother...
If you must play so wildly, Matthew, please don't play near my Chippendale table.
Yes, Mother. In my cell, there was a porcelain washbasin, and sometimes on summer nights, while it was still light, I would count the cracks. In the morning, I would give the basin a whack with my shoe, and then I would spend the day wondering how many new cracks I'd made in the basin and how nice it would be to count them when I got back to my cell. And then, to lie there, the memories returning. Oxford in the spring.
That paper on Shakespeare, Dennis.
Yes, sir?
Amazing piece of work for a student. Especially your observations on the sonnet. Especially your observations on the sonnet. Especially your observations on the sonnet. Especially your
observations on the sonnet.
I wonder what time it is. How long until morning? Let's see, how did it go? When in disgrace with fortune, and must be midnight at least. 5 years. Oh, God. When in disgrace with fortune, in men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble death heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate. Wishing me life for one more rich and
Nate. Here, Nate. You got to watch yourself working the fields. Make out your digging.
The sun will be up soon. It won't make much difference in this fog.
Watch it. Keep bent over like you're digging the bloody potatoes. Look, here, I got some tobacco. You can have a chew if you like.
Thanks.
How long have you been in?
Almost a year.
How much you got left to do?
3 years if I behave like a plaster saint. Huh?
I got 10. Say, you're a tough, aren't you?
You mean the Oxford accent?
Yes.
Or is it the objection to being spoken to like a dog?
Watch it.
Guards can barely see us in this fog.
Fog don't prevent them from hearing us. They'll be rounding us up for home in a minute. Watch and see. Fog makes them nervous.
Tell me, has anyone ever gotten away from here?
Now, don't go thinking about escape. You'll want clothes, you'll want money, you'll want a car to give you a dog's chance. Then they'll get you. The moor's worse than the bloody jungle.
No talking there. When you finish that row, pick back along the next one and then stand by to fall in. Hear me, you filthy beggars! Answer me!
Right, sir. Nice, ain't he? What did I tell you? Early home to tea.
You know the moor. Where's two bridges?
Over there.
And
about 6 miles.
Tavistock?
That way. About 50 miles. Now, look here, Governor. Don't do it. There ain't a chance in a million.
I got out of Germany during the war.
Yes, I know, but it's all bog around here. You'll never get through.
I'll take a few of these potatoes. Can one eat these raw? I used to eat turnips in Germany.
Hurry up with that last row, you two men.
Here, Governor. Take this. Go on. It's a bit of bread.
Thanks, Holden.
Wish I was coming with you, but I haven't got the pluck. That's a fact.
No. Now, look. Turn your head the other way and keep it there.
Right.
Remember me to block 9. So long.
Roy, me. He's past the guard. Oh, he's off.
All right, you two. Hey, you man there. Where's your mate?
What, sir?
You heard me. Where is he?
I'd be blasted if I know, sir. He was here just a minute ago.
Come with me. Hey, Kundig. You out there. Answer. Hey, Williams. Anybody passed you? Lost a man here.
No one's passed here, Piper.
All right, look sharp now. There's a man gone.
We must have got past you then.
Oh, curse this fog. Fire a shot for warning. No, don't. Or we'll have others running for it. Line up and get them all home to report. That's the only thing. Hey, you. You know all about it, I bet. Where'd he go? Speak up before I bash your head in.
Oh, not me, sir. He just said he had a call to have tea with the Dutch.
Mind your lip. Come on, Williams. All right, you. March.
I don't see what's the use of making a side behind this tree guarding this blighted road, Piper. You can't see nothing.
I've seen 2 guards get promoted to captain right here for catching a man. Right on this spot. On a night like this, it's human nature for a man to cling to a road. Can't make it on the moor in fog as thick as this. And the fog gets right into your bones. I was telling the missus I... what was that?
I don't hear nothing.
They say the fellow was a captain in the war. Well,
he's a sporty beggar, Parker. That's the worst sort when it comes to an escape. They run till they drop.
Wished I was in bed. A guard's life is no field of daisies. And that missus of mine jabbering away at me night and day. If you had an ounce of guts in here, you'd get promoted to inspector, she says. Sit up there in a nice warm office, she says, and not go chasing around the middle of the night. As if I like standing out here. There it is again.
I don't hear nothing. You're jumpy, Piper. Relax. Did you see that cinema down at the Strand? The cat man?
That's a Lulu.
How do you think he does that roof business?
He has springs in his heels. An optical deception, that's what it is. I tell the missus some of these movie blokes ought to be in prison the way they deceive the public. That missus of mine, she says to me, why don't you apprehend a criminal like that cat man? Get yourself a nice promotion. Got a tongue, that woman. Perpetual motion. Listen. Footsteps.
I think you're right.
You stay here. I'll move away from the tree. You stay here. Just before he gets to us, I'll throw the light in his face and then douse it sharp. He'll start to run, and then you'll get him.
Suppose it isn't him.
We'll have to take that chance. Now, get him!
I've got him, Piper!
Now, you ruddy fool, you got me!
After I slipped away from the guards, there was the road through the woods and the fog. Heavy and beautiful fog hiding me. And then there were lights shining very dimly. It was an inn of some sort, and I just couldn't run anymore. It was raining then, and I climbed up on a balcony to get dry for a moment. I crouched there, and then I must have fallen asleep. When I woke, it was morning. Through the open window, I could see a lady, a guest of the inn. She was lying in bed. And then there was a knock at her door.
Come in. 7:30, mum.
Thank you.
Is anything wrong, mum?
No. It's just not very pleasant to be waking up in some forlorn country inn at an unearthly hour.
Oh. Your husband says to tell you he's gone for a walk. He says he'll be back at 8. Taking a bath, mum?
Yes.
I'll go down the hall and get the water nice and hot. That escaped convict, mum. They haven't got him yet.
No? How thrilling.
It's the fog. He's been out for hours. They say it's the young man who killed the detective in Hyde Park that was in all the newspapers.
What was his name? Captain Dennett.
They'll catch him, all right. No one ever gets off.
Don't they?
Oh, no, it would never do.
I should have thought in a fog like this.
You see, they got to eat and get clothes. That's where they're caught.
This horrible fog. Shall I get up or shall I stay? I suppose I'd better.
I'll turn the water on.
Thank you.
Shall I close the window, Mum?
Never mind, I'll do it.
Thank you, Mum.
Don't close that yet, will you?
What do you want? Get out of here.
I can thank my lucky star for an Englishwoman who sleeps with her window open. There we are. I'll close it for you.
Who? How? What do you mean by coming into my room?
If you don't mind, I'll lock the door.
Get out of here.
It's quite okay, really. I'm most frightfully sorry, but...
Are you the escape?
Yes, I...
Oh, no.
I wonder if you'd mind awfully speaking, Pianissimo. I saw the guards coming down this way.
What made you come in here?
I've been on your balcony for hours. I couldn't see in. The curtains covered the window. I couldn't tell it was a lady.
I didn't snore.
No, but that's not an infallible test of sex. I didn't either, or you'd have heard me.
Do you mean to say you went to sleep out there?
I'm afraid I did.
Well, now you do know it's a lady, and as you're a gentleman, aren't you going?
I'd simply love to, but where?
Well, really, I can't tell you.
But look at me. What can I do in these clothes?
Do you expect me to lend you some?
Well, hardly, but I'd be eternally grateful if you'd give me something to eat.
This is pretty cool, you know. I ought to ring and hand you over.
I know, but you look such a sport.
Don't you realize my position?
I'm afraid I only realize my own. Look, there's a piece of chocolate over on that table. Would you mind awfully if I had it? I've had absolutely nothing but a piece of bread and two raw potatoes since yesterday.
Here you are.
Thank you. Would it be all right if I drank some water?
Of course. You'll have to go, of course. This whole thing is quite silly.
Oh, that's good. Never had that hunted feeling?
No, I suppose I never have.
Well, don't. Oh, I'm so stiff. My arms feel as if they're broken.
Do you know, you're only 3 miles from the prison.
Yes, the first night I meant to get to 2 bridges by morning, but then I saw the lights of the inn and here I was. I'd been going in circles in the fog. Is that a razor?
My husband's.
Oh, you're married.
Do you know any other way of acquiring a husband?
No, it's just that you're quite young.
Thank you. Put down that razor, Captain Dennett. There are limits. You cannot have a weapon.
No, of course not. But would you mind awfully if I shaved? You see, looking like this, I haven't an earthly chance, even if I could get clothes. I'm a very quick shaver. It takes me 3 minutes. Thank you. I can do it in exactly 32 and a half strokes.
Have you nearly been caught?
Twice I've been within half a mile of the hounds.
Hounds?
Human. It's really so pleasant to shave again. You can't imagine.
Here's a towel.
Thank you.
Tell me, Captain Dennett, weren't you at college with my brother? He used to talk of a Matt Dennett who was an awfully good runner.
Quite likely. I was at school with an awful lot of brothers. What was his name?
No, that won't do.
Well, of course, you're quite right.
My name was Wilcox. Barbara Wilcox.
Oh, Jerry Wilcox's sister. Yes, of course.
It's so odd. The word escaped convict, you never think of them as describing someone you might have known. I really don't see how I can help you.
Nor do I, worse luck.
I read your trial in the papers.
Only sometimes a newspaper account isn't the whole story, and sometimes the law isn't the whole story either. You think me frightful, of course. Do you know how I spend a good deal of my time in prison? Holding imaginary conversations with the respectable.
Do you think you're holding a real one now?
A little too early to tell. Sometimes the smugness is quite subtle. It takes a while to see it.
There's gratitude.
I'm sorry. It's just that gratitude isn't an emotion I've had much use for lately. Well, you've been awfully kind, and I don't want to impose on you.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Make a run for it, I suppose. They've got guards out on the road. You don't know how decent it's been after a year in there to talk.
Who is it?
The boss orders out now, ma'am.
All right, thank you. Do you think she heard it?
I don't know. Well, thank you for everything.
Which way will you go?
Out on the balcony. Wait till the guard's looking the other way, and then make a break.
Are you still a good runner?
Pretty fair, if I weren't so stiff.
Oh, no, wait. Now, look here. When I go to my bath, I'll make sure there's no one about. If I don't come back, slip down the stairs. They're almost opposite. In the hall, you'll find my husband's old Burberry coat and fishing basket, rather than a fishing hat. It's a long brown Burberry with stains and flies stuck in the hat. Put them on and go out of the front door. The river's down to the left. Can you fish?
Yes.
You better then.
I can't thank you enough.
Good luck. So odd, I was expecting such a quiet weekend in the country.
Staying here?
No, with my sister at Tavistock. My husband was driving me there. We just stopped here for the night.
What are you going to say to your husband?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it. Well, he'll be on his way back to London tonight. I suppose what he doesn't know can't harm him. Here. Here's £2. It's all I've got. And take this flask. If you see anyone looking at you, drink. There's nothing gives one more confidence in a man than to see him drinking.
By George, I think you're sublime.
The bathroom's not on the outside, so I shan't see you go, but... Whistle Lady Be Good, if you know it.
It's the only tune that's got into prison. If I'm caught, I shall say I swiped everything, of course.
Get behind that door. All clear.
Goodbye, and thank you.
Gone away.
Your boss getting cold, Mum.
Very well, I'm going. Do you know if my husband's come back yet?
No, Mummy, he hasn't. I think he went down to...
Shh. Well.
Beg pardon, Mum?
Nothing. I was just looking at the fog. It's a lovely fog, don't you think? Nice and thick. Yes, quite the nicest fog I've ever seen. Bring me a big clean towel to the bathroom, will you? Oh, sweet and lovely Lady Be Good. Oh, what's that?
I look. Pack of hounds, Mum. They must be after that escaped convict. Look at them go. They've really picked up the scent this time.
Let me see. Oh, no. Don't let them catch him.
Oh, please, no.
You are listening to Escape, produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here, speaking for United States Steel, is George Hicks.
Good evening. Last Wednesday, as most of you know, new contracts were signed between the principal steel-producing subsidiaries of United States Steel and the United Steel Workers of America CIO. The workers receive a general wage increase of 12.5 cents an hour. This increase and other employee benefits will add $75 million a year to the employment costs of United States Steel. The signing of these labor contracts proves very conclusively that American labor and management working together in a spirit of cooperation can find a way to solve their problems without costly work stoppages or outside interference. I think you'll be very interested to hear what Mr. Benjamin Fairless, president of the United States Steel Corporation, and Mr. Philip Murray, president of the Steelworkers Union, have to say about this peacefully and successfully concluded contract. First, Mr. Fairless, and I quote, "The agreement demonstrates our faith in our employees, and we are confident that they in turn will demonstrate anew that we can count on them for full and loyal cooperation in enabling United States Steel to meet its large responsibilities." And here is what Mr. Murray has to say. "The contract definitely assures peace in the industry for 2 years. It reflects good, decent, sound relationships between management and labor and shows what can be done by labor unions and employers in free collective bargaining." End quotes. I think you, too, will agree that these contracts mark a most important milestone in the progress of labor-management relations. The cooperation through which this agreement was achieved will better enable United States Steel to serve the nation.
Pause now for station identification.
Your station is KECA, Los Angeles.
You are listening to the Theatre Guild on the Air, presented by the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
And now the curtain rises on the second act of Escape, starring George Sanders as Matt and Penelope Ward as Barbara, and featuring Romney Brent as Albert and Everett Sloan as Piper, and Maria Manton as Nat.
I wonder if you know what it's like to be hunted by dogs. You run so hard, your hands tremble, your chest feels split open, a great ball of pain rings in your throat. And you run. After a while, I found a little brook, and I splashed along in it. I hoped that the water would throw the dogs off the scent. I stopped and listened for them. Nothing. I just kept walking in the water, and that hunted feeling over my shoulders like a cast iron cloak.
The fog was clearing away. The morning sun looked so clean and innocent. It didn't seem the kind of day for hunting down a man. I needed a rest quite badly. So I staggered up on the bank and sat on the grass in the sun. I still had the Burberry coat on, the fishing tackle I'd taken from the inn. Oh, it was so good just to sit there in the sun.
Hello there.
Good morning.
Cleared up too well for much fishing, I'm afraid.
Yes, it has.
Very foggy this morning. Worst point about these moors, the fog.
Yes, it was quite bad, wasn't it?
Bad enough to hide that convict who got loose from Dartmoor.
Oh, yes, Dartmoor. Well, I should think a chap who tries to escape must be a sportsman anyway. He takes a pretty long chance.
You live round here?
No, I'm just down from London for the fishing.
Oh, fishing.
Mm. Yes.
I don't envy a hunted man in this country. We are such a law-abiding people.
Personally, I've got quite a few theories about escapes. I got out of Germany during the war.
Did you? How very interesting.
If you want to get thin. I lived 3 days and nights on beets and turnips. Do you know the turnip in a state of nature, sir? A most homely fellow. Only beaten by the beet. I beg your pardon, sir. That slipped out.
That convict who got off day before yesterday, a Captain Matt Dennant. Yes, I read his case with some interest. How did it strike you?
I don't believe I remember it.
What? Oh, the Hyde Park case?
No, yes. There was a girl. In those cases, they might wait till you complain.
I suppose one might run across this convict fellow any moment. It would be a little like meeting a poisoned snake. The poor thing only wants to get away from you, and yet if you don't break its back 10 to 1, it'll bite a dog. I had 2 dogs die of snake bite. Suppose he showed up right now. Would you turn him in? It's a duty, perhaps. What do you say?
Probably. But I don't always do my duty.
Oh, don't you? You know, I've had the misfortune to send a good many people to prison in my time. I'm a retired judge. In the old days, I made a point of seeing a prison now and then. I remember I used to give my juries a pass to go and see where they sent their fellow human beings. Once I tested whether they went to look or not. Out of 3 juries, how many men do you think had the curiosity?
None.
Isn't that a little cynical? No. It was 1.
Well, I don't blame them. Who wants to go to a prison? I'd rather visit a morgue. The bodies aren't living anyway.
They tell me prisons are much improved. They've introduced a human feeling.
Have they? Splendid. What was the date of that?
Do you know any convicts?
Only one. The most interesting chap I know.
Really? You know this countryside well?
No, this is my first visit.
Oh. Well, I must be getting on. It's been very pleasant. I've enjoyed our little talk. At my time of life, one doesn't often get new sensations.
Have I given you any?
Well, I don't remember ever having talked before to a prisoner who'd escaped from Germany.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, Captain Dennant. Goodbye. I hope you'll have a pleasant journey.
Do you mind telling me how you spotted me?
Not at all. Your legs. The trousers, caked with mud.
Oh, I hoped you'd think I was a leader of fashion.
Well... It's been most interesting.
Good day, sir. It's most sporting of you. For the moment, I feel quite human.
You know, that's been rather the effect on me. Original sin, I suppose. I'm getting along in years, you know. Someday, I might be up before a judge myself. Might come in handy to be able to prove I'd known the meaning of mercy.
Thank you.
Good day.
Good day, sir.
For the last time, Albert, I've no idea who could have stolen that old coat of yours. Albert, don't go so fast. Anyhow, the coat was a sight. It was about time we got rid of it.
Now, that's all very well for you to say. But I've had to work for every pound I have. I say a coat's a coat, and it has to be bought and paid for.
Be careful. Please drive slowly on these country roads. Now, slow up going round this curve. Albert, be careful. There's a car parked
over there. Oh, that's a stupid place to park a car. What's the matter with you?
Well, you look as though you'd seen a ghost.
Albert, that man was having motor trouble. We've got to go back and help him.
Confound it, I'm not a mechanic.
Albert, please stop and turn back.
Oh, all right.
Never mind, don't turn. Just wait here a second. Here he comes. He must have fixed it for himself.
Now we'll be late for lunch. You know how frightful a headache I get if I don't eat on time.
I say, beg of one, sir, but can you direct me to Tavistock?
Tavistock?
Albert, I dropped my scarf out of the window. It's all right. Sit there. I'll get out and get it.
I say.
Was that Tavistock you wanted? Perhaps I can help you.
Barbara, we'll be late for lunch.
Which way did you say Tavistock was?
Down the road. Take the turn to the left, about 3 miles.
Oh, thank you. Lovely day, isn't it?
Yes, it's a lovely day. Much too warm for a burglary.
Yes. Matter of fact, I was wearing one myself this morning, but I got rid of it.
You've got away. I'm so glad.
You're not far behind me. If the guards come, try to stall them, will you?
You there. Was there anything else you wanted to know?
No, thank you.
Never been to Tavistock, eh? Splendid town.
So I've heard. I have some aunts there. Excellent aunt country.
Aunt country? Oh, that's good.
Well, I must be getting along now. I shall be late for lunch.
Seemed like a pleasant enough chap. Have you got your scarf? Come along. Aunt country. Now, what's that coming? Some fool on a motorcycle. Barbara, don't stand there in the road. Look out for that motorcycle.
Seen a convict pass?
Convict? No, why?
You seen anybody?
Pull your car.
I'm Guard Piper from Dartmoor Prison. We're looking for an escaped convict. Tall, brownish hair, blue eyes, long nose.
That's him, all right.
I don't know, Albert. Perhaps not. That's rather a general description. Besides, he was a gentleman.
Gentleman, right. That's the one. Did he speak to you?
If he asked the way to Tavistock, we told him.
As a matter of fact, he was quite charming. You know, he looked just like an uncle of mine.
Oh, did he
yes,
now?
Yes, didn't you notice, Albert, how much he looked like Uncle Cecil from Compton Wingate?
An escaped convict, that's what he was.
An escaped convict?
How much head start has he got?
Just a few minutes.
Folks he stole that car from half an hour ago don't think he was no gentleman. Well, I better get after him.
Well, I like that.
You needn't be so upset about it. Why, gentlemen?
Well, a convict's a convict. You can't play about the law. The brass of that chap talking about his aunt.
You thought it was very funny.
You can't play about with the law.
Oh, don't be silly, Albert. You needn't get rattled because your nerves are on edge.
Well, if I'd known...
Oh, yes, of course, if you'd known. Well, you'll have your chance. It looks as if he's coming back.
The guard?
No, the convict.
Awfully sorry to bother you. Is there another way into Tavistock?
Look here, you...
My husband means yes. There's another way through that side road.
Barbara. Now, sir, there's been a guard by here talking to us.
I know. He'd have run into me if I hadn't turned off the road into a lane.
Nevertheless, the game's up. If you don't mind, I'll take that car. He says it isn't yours.
You know that's quite true. But then it isn't yours either.
I'll have to ask you to get out of that car.
Look here, I've got a brainstorm. Let's all go into Tavistock together.
Well, that's better. I thought you'd be sporting about it.
You see, if you're with me, I shall get through Tavistock all right, and I'll drop you just on the far side.
But that's ridiculous.
You won't come.
Oh, what do you take me for, a fool?
I'll come if you like. If you're with a woman, you'll get through without being spotted.
Barbara.
Splendid. Thanks.
Barbara.
Will you get in?
Now, look here, sir. I ought to be dragging you out of that car and knocking you down and sitting on your head, if you know what I mean.
All right. We'll just try that, shall we?
Well, I mean, that's very crude. Look here. As a citizen of England, I placed you under arrest.
Take your hand off me, will you?
Grab him, Barbara.
Go ahead, Albert. What are you waiting for?
Well, I...
Go ahead, Albert.
Will you let me handle this?
I'm afraid I'd better be moving. Are you coming along with me, as you said?
Well, certainly not. I forbid it.
No, I'm afraid not. I'd better stay here with him.
Yes, of course. Well, it's been quite wonderful knowing you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Barbara.
Here, stop that fellow. Stop. Stop. Come back, you...
Go on, my dear. Run after him. It's quite all right. You can't catch him.
Well, I... Honestly, Barbara, if you aren't the most...
We better be getting along, Albert.
Well, he won't get away. Don't you worry about that. The police will get him all right. I'll see that they're told. That guard from the prison will catch him and wring his neck for him.
Come along, Albert. We'll be late for lunch.
All right, mister. What's yours?
Glass of whiskey, neat, please.
While you're about it, put head on this beer, will you, Tessie? Now, that's what I like about this place. Ain't every pub's got a barmaid. Looks like she ought to be in the cinema.
Here's your beer, Charlie. That'll be sixpence. Keep your hand to yourself.
Is that the afternoon paper? You mind if I have a look at it?
Yeah. I doubt I've thrown it about. I ain't read it myself yet.
Thank you.
I ain't seen you around here before.
No, I'm just passing through.
Here's your whiskey.
Thank you.
All the goddesses of ancient Greece never brought a man anything more precious. I'll drink this to you, if I may.
I don't mind if you do.
Thank you.
You always pass out that line of stuff about the goddesses.
No. No, as a matter of fact, you handed me the whiskey and smiled at me, and it just came right out. I suppose I've come to value a smile very highly. Would you mind if I look at the paper while we're talking?
It's a free country. You say you're just passing through. You wouldn't be staying about for a bit, I suppose.
No, I'm afraid not.
I finish work at 10. Here, what's the matter? Is anything wrong?
No, I'm afraid I've got to be getting along. How far am I from Tavistock?
Oh, half a mile down the road, but...
Thank you. Here you are. Keep the change. Goodbye.
Well, blow me ears off. How do you like that? An old pound he gives me.
Let's see.
He was looking at the paper and his face turned kind of queer and he tosses me the pound and out he goes.
Maybe his horse came in last.
Yeah, look at this. That toss. It's his picture in the paper. Convict escaped from Dartmoor. A convict.
Convict?
And here I stood talking to him, pretty as you please.
Well.
Get after him. He's a convict. A criminal with blood on his hands. Get the police.
Get the police. Get the police.
You are listening to Escape, produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here again, speaking for United States Steel, is George Hicks.
Last week, a new motion picture was given its premiere in the South, and it aroused quite a bit of interest. Filmed in natural color, the picture tells the story of a Southern farmer and his struggle against nature. The picture will probably never be shown at your neighborhood theater, but in special showings, thousands of Southern farmers will see and profit by it. That's because Soil and the South, as the picture is called, deals with problems familiar to the South. Dwindling crops, decreasing farm income, and exhausted lands, resulting from years of one-crop farming and soil erosion. And the picture shows how those problems may be solved, explaining how terracing and contour plowing can prevent the washing away of topsoil, how cover crops protect fields against erosion and make them more fertile, and how diversified farming can relieve the Southern farmer of his dependence on King Cotton. This interesting and entertaining picture is freely available to all groups of Southern farmers, schools, and civic organizations. Now, perhaps you wonder what this picture has to do with United States Steel. At first thought, steel making and farming seem far removed, but they are not. American farmers depend on steel to do hundreds of jobs, and steel makers depend on farmers for a large part of their sales. United States Steel knows that the more prosperous all groups are, the greater the market for steel. That's just sound business thinking. That's why this picture was made by a member of the United States Steel family. The Farm Products Division of the Tennessee Coal, Iron, and Railroad Company planned the picture, made it, and paid for it in order to bring to the farmers of the South a clear demonstration of how modern farming methods can make them more prosperous. It's the latest step in the Tennessee Coal, Iron, and Railroad Farm Program, which has been going on for more than 20 years and has accomplished a great deal in helping to improve Southern agriculture. This farm program is another example of the service provided by the members of the industrial family that serves the nation. For United States Steel knows that it prospers only as America prospers.
Are listening to the Theatre Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation.
And now the curtain rises on the third act of Escape, starring George Sanders and Penelope Ward, and featuring Romney Brent, Everett Sloan, and Maria Manton.
I must say, Barbara, it's very pleasant to have my little sister out here with me in Tavistock.
It's very nice to be here in the country. Do you mind if I open the French doors? So quiet. I suppose Albert's back in London by now. I don't envy him. I had a wonderful sleep last night.
And then riding over those beautiful fields this morning...
Why do you stand there staring out into the garden?
Oh, for no special reason. It wasn't a very good hunt this morning. Everybody was really looking for that escaped convict. Poor hunted wretch.
If you think hunted things are poor, why do you go hunting?
Foxes hunt and expect to be hunted.
So do convicts. Don't waste your sympathy, Barbara.
This isn't a common convict.
A convict is a convict.
For a good woman, Grace, you know you're awfully hard.
There's your tea, Barbara. Oh, isn't it pleasant to sit here and look out into the garden? I think French doors...
You know, you're quite right. It is a shame to hunt a fox. Much better to shoot it. I shan't hunt any more. And you're wrong about the convict.
Oh, why must you be perverse? If I say day, you say night.
My dear, my will is nothing to yours. I haven't got the ego for it.
Thank you. Do you have another cup of tea? And would you mind closing those doors? It's getting the whole house cold.
Oh. Over here, Captain. Quickly in here, through these doors.
Thank you. You're a lifesaver.
Barbara, what on earth? Who is this man? What do you want?
Please, just let me stay here for a moment. They're out in the garden.
Who? What are you talking about? And how dare you come walking into my house this way?
The guards and the local constables, they're right out there.
Here, stand behind the curtain before they see you.
I want you out of here at once.
Leave him alone, Grace.
Leave him alone? A perfectly strange man?
Can't you
see?
He's fighting for his life. He's the escaped convict.
The escaped? Get him out of here.
I said he's staying. Now, that's enough. Keep back. One of them out there might see you.
This is great of you.
Great? To hide a convict?
If you'll forgive me for saying so, that makes it greater. To hide an archbishop wouldn't strain one a bit.
Please don't blaspheme.
Would you like something to eat?
Really, Barbara?
Look, I'm most awfully sorry for butting in like this, but it was neck or nothing.
Well, then I think it should have been nothing, sir, considering the position you put my poor sister in.
Poor sister?
Look, when you are hunted, all you think of is the next move.
I'm afraid you're about done.
Yes, I'm getting my wind back. I keep making plans, but it's no good. It's like a battle. You change them before you use them.
I suppose you call yourself a gentleman.
I really don't know. It depends on whom I'm with. I might be contradicted.
Look here. I think I can hide you.
Barbara.
You look, really, I can't let you do this. Too bad it isn't the Middle Ages when a man could go to the church for sanctuary.
I'm going to hide him, Grace.
Not in this house.
You need have nothing to do with it.
You haven't broken the law yet, luckily. You're not going to now. Barbara, you mustn't. It's wrong and it's absurd.
Go upstairs, Grace. If I have to mention you, I'll say you've seen nothing and so can you.
You expect me to tell the house?
I'm going to hide him, I tell you. Captain, I... Where is he?
Well, I don't know. He's gone. Maybe he's gone upstairs. He must have slipped out.
Oh, didn't you see him?
Yes? Who is it?
I beg pardon, miss. We've been trailing an escaped convict. He came through your garden. We've lost him. He's a fair twister. Might be he doubled back. We'll have a look around in case he's hiding here somewhere.
He can't be in the house.
Well, I'll look anywhere if you don't mind.
No, wait a moment.
Barbara, get him, go. I won't have him caught. Stop, I tell you.
Let go of my arm.
I shall not, you're crazy.
Let go, Grace.
You can't help him without breaking the law.
Will you let me go or shall I hit you?
Very well. Hit me then.
Go, someone's coming.
He's not here. You're quite sure, miss, you didn't see no one?
Quite.
No one at all?
No.
Nor you, miss?
No.
Well, it's getting dark again. We'll have the devil finding him now.
Try the next farm.
Don't worry, ma'am. I'll try everywhere there is. Good night.
You told your lie beautifully, Grace. Thank you.
We'll have vespers in 10 minutes, Thomas. Just a short service. No sermon.
Yes, sir.
Don't seem to be very many coming to church these days, do there?
No, sir. More's the pity.
All right, Thomas. That's all.
Thank you, sir.
Sanctuary, sir.
Well, hello.
Sanctuary.
Oh, the escaped convict. You oughtn't to have come here.
Then where, sir? In the old days, the church gave sanctuary.
That was the old days.
Quite right. Very well.
No. Wait a minute. They haven't given you a moment's rest, have they?
Well, it's not so bad, really. Not as bad as the war.
I know. I was there.
Chaplain?
Yes. Are they after you?
Full cry.
This is a situation I've never had to face.
Well, sir, I'm just about done. If you could let me rest a bit, that's all I ask.
My dear fellow, of course. Sit down. I expect you're hungry, too.
One gets used to hunger.
Does one? I'm afraid we of the church lead two regular lives.
Well, not the war.
No, I'm ashamed to say, even in the war.
Well, Chaplain, how does it look to you? Giving me up?
Chaplain, who am I to give you up? I can't help you to escape. But if you want rest, take it.
I wonder what Christ would have done.
That, Captain, is the hardest question in the world. Nobody ever knows. You may say this or that, but nobody knows. The more you read those writings, the more you realize that he was not easy to predict. It makes it hard for us who try to follow him. Very tired?
Didn't think it was possible to feel so low. I was a 3-mile runner, too. Not the legs so much, it's up here behind the eyes. Wasn't half so much strain getting out of Germany.
Who's after you?
Guards from the prison, local villagers, everybody.
Tell me, what made you escape?
Stick a bobcat in a cage and open the door by mistake and see what happens. Oh, yes, I know what you mean. I paid up my share long ago.
Didn't you have a fair trial?
You can't try, bad luck. I shouldn't have hit him, of course. But for an ordinary knockout, 6 months is all you get. I got 5 years by the accident of an iron rail. Well, you needn't worry. I should be caught all right.
I'm not worrying about that. What bothers me is my own peace of mind. You led a company in the war, and now you expect me to lead it.
You're parishioners, eh?
When you're gone, shall I be entitled to have shielded you without telling them I shielded you? And if I let them know it, can I keep what little influence I now possess? And is it right for a parson to go on where he has no influence?
I see.
Here, sir. Who is it?
Me, sir. Thomas.
Well, I'm busy, Thomas. I can't let anybody into the church until service time. My assistant.
Well, I'll be going. Wish I had the wings of that angel they're always singing about.
Service is at 5. You can rest through the service if you like. No one comes here to the vestry.
Oh, well, thank you, but it's dark now, and if I'm caught, I'd rather it was in the open.
Well, who is it?
Me, Barbara.
I am sorry, but
no,
I...
Please let her in.
Well,
Captain Gannett, I thought you'd come here after what you said about sanctuary. You've got to go quickly, that outside. Thomas told them he saw you. You've got to go.
Go? Where? There's no place else to go. Hello. Nice to see you again.
Oh, please, you've got to get away.
Open the door, sir.
Quick. Behind these choir robes. All right, Father.
I tell you, I saw him come right by
what
here.
What is all this, Thomas?
Begging your pardon, sir. And, you, miss. God Piper from Dartmoor Prison. Your man here says he saw a chap enter a while back. It's the escaped convict, sir. He gave us the slip and we chased him up this way. You been here long, sir?
An hour, at least.
Well, I'll have a look, if you don't mind.
I don't know whether you have the right to search a holy place. Well, go ahead, as quietly as you can, if you don't mind. The church is through that door. You can go with him, Thomas. I'll stand here.
Yes, sir.
Now then, quick. Here, get behind this curtain.
Right.
Now, pull it over you, all the way. There, that does it.
Watch it, he's coming back.
He's not in there, sir. He's a proper twisty customer, for sure, but we'll get him yet. I say, What's behind that curtain?
I'll have a look. Not a thing.
Thank you, sir.
I saw him come in here, I'm sure, with my own eyes.
Service, Thomas. It's time to start desperate now. I'm afraid I must ask you to go too, Mr. Piper, unless you'd like to stay for service.
Well, no, thanks. Duty calls and all that, you know.
Of course.
Vicar, you'll pardon my asking, but are you certain sure you haven't seen this joker?
What is it you're asking me?
I'm asking you, on your honor, as a gentleman of the cloth, whether or not you've seen the escaped convict.
He's answered that question once already, hasn't he?
Oh, no.
Gotcha right enough at last.
Be quiet in this place and go out. You shame God.
Well, I... Well...
Forgive me, sir. Oughtn't to have come in here. Well, goodbye, Barbara.
Goodbye, Captain Dennett.
You know, I'm glad I tried it. I've learnt there's a little mercy in the world as well as justice.
Goodbye, Matt.
Well, Mr. Piper, shall we go?
a Theatre Guild on the Air production of Escape by John Galsworthy. Sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. Starring George Sanders as Matt and Penelope Ward as Barbara. And featuring Romney Brent as Albert, Everett Sloan as Piper, and Maria Manton as Nancy. Other members of our cast included Malcolm Keane, Jack Merivale, Edwin Jerome, Elizabeth Fuller, Evan Thomas, Kathleen Cordell, Alfred Shirley, and Elizabeth Eustace. And now, here is Roger Pryor with a word about next week's play.
Be with us next week, ladies and gentlemen, when the Theatre Guild on the Air brings you the celebrated star of stage and motion pictures, Fred Astaire, with Wendy Barry and Carol Goodner in Philip Barry's wise and knowing play, The Animal Kingdom. And now, here again is tonight's star, George Sanders.
Tonight, in war-torn countries all over the world, millions of boys and young men are suffering from hunger. They are confused by propaganda and embittered by hate. Without homes, families, schools, or churches, they are struggling to lead a decent life. Those boys need help, and one of the organizations that is giving that help is the Young Men's Christian Association. Through its World Youth Fund, the YMCA has intensified its work in 26 war-ravaged countries. You, too, can help these men of tomorrow. The World Youth Fund needs money to continue its important work. So give, and give generously through your nearest YMCA. Remember that peace in the hearts of these young men means peace for the world.
Remember, next week, The Animal Kingdom, starring Fred Astaire with Wendy Barry and Carol Goodner. And remember, too, that the trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. The Theatre Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Teresa Halbern and Lawrence Langler, with Homer Thicket, director, Carol Irwin, production executive, and Armina Marshall, executive director of the radio department. Music was composed and conducted by Harry Levy, and the play was adapted by Millard Lampel. Mr. Sanders will soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, with Gene Tierney and Rex Harrison. Tonight, through the addition of station WELM to this network, the United States Steel Corporation welcomes more members of its industrial family to its radio audience. They are the employees of the American Bridge Company in Elmira Heights, New York, who can now hear the Theatre Guild on the Air from their local station. Your announcer, Norman Brokenshire. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next Sunday at the same time.
ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.